Back in 1940, Chilean astronomer Carlos Muñoz Ferrada predicted accurately that the powers that be would attempt to cover up Planet X when it comes barreling towards the Earth. Ferrada referred to Nibiru Planet X as a comet planet because it has the size of a planet, but the speed and elliptical orbit of a comet. On December 31st, 1983, a Washington Post article entitled Possibly as Large as Jupiter, Mystery Heavenly Body Discovered, and it said the following, quote, "A heavenly body possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that would be part of the solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. Infrared Astronomical Satellite. So mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, or a nearby protostar that never got hot enough to become a star. A distant galaxy so young that it's still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through. The most fascinating explanation of this mystery body, which is so cold it casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, is that it is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 billion miles. Well, that may seem like a great distance in Earthbound terms. It is a stone's throw away in cosmological terms. So close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet, Pluto. The weird thing is no one spoke of it again or since. The idea has now been long forgotten, except that 32 years later, in fact, just a few days ago, a recent discovery published in the same Washington Post has now rekindled speculation that there is a Planet X. We once thought we were a binary system. Now we may be a trinary system. Something to think about. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. So in the first hour, I was kind of free-thinking a bit about Planet X. Nibiru, the destroyer planet, the Nibiru cataclysm, all those things that, you know, that doom stuff that comes with Planet X. If it comes anywhere near us, we're in big trouble. We're in deep cosmic doo-doo if this happens. Well, a lot of people are saying it's on its way, and, you know, for the longest time, people have, like, poo-pooed the idea because everybody says, it's coming, we're waiting. And then, of course, 2012 happened, and NASA got all jerky about it. They said, it's not coming. And got all mad and said, anybody who tells you there's going to be doom on December 21st, 2012, I don't know how many people said the Planet X was coming on that day. Maybe a few did. I didn't. But maybe a few did. And so, you know, a lot of people, I think, went, Planet X, yeah, whatever. Well, a couple days ago, something happened where it always happens. I don't know. Maybe it's because Star Wars is coming out. We think of Death Stars. We think of all this stuff. And of course, there's been plenty of movies that have dealt with this. There was a movie called Melancholia that was released in theaters back, 3 years ago. Another Earth, Tree of Life, all these dealing with the possibility of another planet coming into our solar system or coming into our system and making the Earth go all topsy-turvy and crazy, changing the magnetic field and either killing us all or enlightening us all or beaming us all aboard the happy planet and taking us back to where God lives. The situation is that while none of this is happening at the moment, there was a new report that was released in the Washington Post about how the scientists in Chile, using an observatory in Chile, have discovered not one, but two possible candidates for Planet X. And they're submitting it now for peer review. But, of course, a lot of scientists say, calm down, it's really nothing. So when I came in, I love to talk about Planet X because the idea is terrifying. It's also fascinating at the same time. So the only person I could think of that is, pardon the expression, a master about Planet X is Marshall Masters. Now, he's been on the program before. And it's amazing we got a hold of him, and he's coming on tonight because Marshall Masters is a former CNN Science Features news producer. He's a freelance writer, television analyst, and publisher of YaoUSA.com. And since 1999, he has been researching Earth changes Also, Nibiru flyby-related topics, including sustainable survival communities, catastrophic crop circles, impact events, future technologies, all this stuff. It's coming, and Marshall's here to tell us about it. I'm so happy. It's been so long since I've spoken with you, Marshall, but so good to have you on the program. I know that Planet X is one of those things that I just don't talk about that often because news is kind of scarce, but you've been doing this since 1999. What can you tell me about this new report from Chile?
Well, I think you really nailed it with, I was reading your article, and for your listeners out there, walking in Nibiru Wonderland is absolutely fabulous. I just loved reading this. It's towards the bottom of the article.
Sure.
And this is the most pithy observation I have seen in this topic for a very long time, and I think it really frames our conversation tonight. And I quote you, "The marriage of science and politics now has created a schism, and the other problem that throws itself in the entire mix is religion." And you've really nailed it, because this is what's happened here. And as we're investigating what these scientists operating out of the ALMA Observatory have found, it stopped being science.
Right.
Very quickly. All right. And what we have is disinformation. And the point is, why have the disinformation? So if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is reverse engineer this story with you tonight.
Okay.
And because first off, what we're going to show, and I'm going to go through these, there's two articles on the Washington Post about Planet X recently. Now, the one that was written by a gentleman called Joel Achenbach on September 3rd is rather cogent, very well done, titled, "Is There a Planet X, a Massive Perturber Hidden Beyond Pluto?" So, the Washington Post has broached the issue, and they've done it in this article in September in a very intelligent way. It's very well written. Now, these guys discover stuff in ALMA in Chile, and now we have an article by someone else, a Sarah Kaplan. And, you know, I think for the rest of the interview, I'm just going to refer to her as Poison Pen.
Okay.
All right. And so Poison Pen titles her article, "Scientists Claim They Found Elusive Planet X, Doubting Astronomers Are in an Uproar." All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to take a look at this, but keep in mind where Washington, D.C. is located along a coastline. Now, what I am in my book, Being in It for the Species, The Universe Speaks, what I talk about is the coastlines are going to be hammered. If you're living along a coastline,
bye-bye.
You're not going to do well.
No.
Okay?
And
you know, how long can you tread water? Relocating, and it's always the same thing if they live along a coastline. How long can you tread water?
Sure.
But that brings up another issue. All right. Now, how many times have you heard people say, well, if it was really coming, this was really going to happen, the government would tell us?
No, I don't think they'd tell us. I think they would probably be on the first Jeff Bezos rocket to the breakaway civilization in a heartbeat. That's what I think would happen.
Absolutely. They're going to leave us. You know, Emmerich in the movie 2012, the film was Hollywood high candy in terms of the disaster. I mean, these guys are driving through a magnitude God knows what earthquake, and they're having a conversation in the car. And I lived through Loma Prieta earthquake in 89, and I'm going, oh, like, no. It don't work this way, Bunky.
No, it doesn't.
But this guy Emmerich, you know, he's kind of a little bit of a rogue. And if you get past all the eye glitter and the candy, and you look at the subtext, what he shows you are the elites and exactly how they think, exactly how they operate, and exactly what they do. And what they do in that movie, they're doing now. Okay. Uh-huh. And in that movie, what happens to about 99.99% of humanity? They don't know they're dying until the day they die.
Correct. They're not told anything. They're not told that, they say, don't panic. And that guy says, when they tell you not to panic, that's when you should panic.
Absolutely. Great line from that, you know. But my favorite was the little Chinese grandmother who said, we're all children of the earth. I mean, that went straight to my heart. And the thing here is, take a long-term view. If you are the elites, you know this thing's coming through. It's going to wreak havoc on the planet. And your main thing is not saving the species. The species will survive.
Right.
The species will rebuild.
Yes.
The species will go to space. Take this to the bank. It's about maintaining control. You're ruling. I mean, think about it. 8 people in the world have as much combined wealth as the lower 3.5 billion put together. 8 people as wealthy as 3.5 billion. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally live in a planet of princes and paupers, and the princes want to keep it that way. Now, we are, you know, we are like tilapia. We breed prodigiously. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just give us a jug of wine, a little bit of Viagra, and we can work wonders. So,
okay. I got to take a break right now, but we will be right back with more. This is a great conversation, especially I've talked about the breakaway civilizations before, and this is amazing that you even say that perhaps they are already preparing, if not preparing, for this. And there was an article that I want to dig up that I want to share with you. I saw today about... I think it was Musk. He said something about how we should get off this planet now before it blows. And I don't know why he said, I don't know why that's sticking in my head, but it is. I hope I can find it and talk to you about this. It's amazing you bring this up because of a headline that I read today that got me thinking. This is something we really need to talk about, Planet X, and whether or not it's coming or whether or not some anomaly in space is coming. So we'll talk more with Marshall Masters right here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. We'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, Marshall Masters is with us to talk about Planet X, and the reason why is because there's another article now in the mainstream which talks about Planet X, or what may be a discovery of at least 2 planets that may fit the bill of what Planet X has always been said to be, and we want to kind of clarify what is information and disinformation on this case. You were talking earlier, Marshall, about how, like in the film 2012, the elites have already planned a way to leave. I saw an article today, and I finally found the headline. It says, it's actually Elon Musk says, he says, we must get to Mars before World War III kicks off. Elon Musk warns religious extremism and nuclear attacks will prevent us from landing on the red planet. Back to that idea, we throw something in the mix, it's religion. He says, mankind may only have a brief window to set foot on Mars before a disaster such as a third world war makes it no longer possible. His company is preparing to announce its ambitious plans for rocket and spacecraft technology to carry humans to the red planet. So he's urging the migration, but I don't think I'll be able to afford that ticket. How about you?
I don't have the frequent flyer miles.
No, and that's the problem, is that, you know, and it makes you wonder if, and we've speculated this before, you know, they have to do something to cover up the fact that they may have been doing it already. And there are a lot of people who say that there's been a secret space program or some other breakaway civilization that's already established itself out there in space somewhere. Do you believe that?
Well, that's possible. What I can tell you with certainty is that for many years I do what's called relocation analysis for people. They tell me where they want to go, where their bunker is going to be situated, and then I give them an assessment of where they're at, just like we did when we were starting. And the top 2% or income earners are not going, well, gee, I can't figure this out. I'm going to wait for an opinion. Where's the smoking gun? Ha-cha-cha and all that stuff. They're going, okay, here's a location or here's GPS coordinates, and I want your assessment on this. That's all they want. I give them a, you know, a survival scale of 0 to 10, and You know, for me, on that scale, anything 7.0 is better, is survivable. And these folks are always 8.5 to 9.5. There's nothing in the U.S. to me that's a 10 because of our government. And that's all they want to know. And then, boom, they're off.
Right.
And these guys are building deluxe condominium survival shelters under deep underground, entry level, El Cheapo, $500,000. Most of them are doing $1 million. It's the same kind of condominium underground, except they bring the crews in from about 500 to 600 miles away at night and in blindfold, have them do the work on site and then return them so that they can't figure out where to go and dig you up. Instead of, you know, using local folks that could very well do that. Oh, yeah, I dug a bunker over there for that guy. You know, let's go dig him up. He's got 2 years of food.
Sure.
And so these folks are doing it. Now, you ask them, they'll go, that's nonsense. Trust me, it's not nonsense. They buy my books. They talk to me. And I have to say, they're very impressive. They're very perceptive. They see what's coming down the pike. And they don't play any games.
Well, and it's not, I think, an accident that Elon Musk is now saying there may be a doomsday on the horizon. We better hurry up and get rockets going and get them fired up into space. This is doom along with hope mixed together. Hopefully it's hope. But in the meantime, it's this mix now. As I said earlier, as you quoted from my article, we have science, religion, and we have a schism, and we have people, non-believers and believers, who are weighing the options. But most of the options are go underground or at least find yourself or at least try to hawk a ticket to get on one of these space capsules that'll take you away from here. We'll talk more about this. Marshall Masters with us on Ground Zero. Already fascinating stuff coming from him tonight about, well, we're talking about Planet X, but we're also talking about other things and information about this race to get off the planet to find this alternate place to live or even go underground, because they know that something's coming, whether it be World War III, something else, perhaps a planet or a rogue asteroid or comet coming by. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, Planet X, Nibiru, the destroyer planet. Have they found it? Have they found more than one? Well, another article from the Washington Post. I think this makes about three of them now, talking about Planet X and the possibility of it being found or at least being named by scientists. And tonight, Marshall Masters is here to go over with us some of the breaking story. Also, the story of Elon Musk saying that we need to get off the planet because something's about to go down. We don't know what's going to happen, but he says that either world war or religious fanaticism or something going on from space will render the planet useless. And so we need to find ways to get off the planet. We're also talking about the breakaway civilization. Marshall, you were saying that a lot of the, the Washington Post article you said was poison. Was actually poison, or some of it's disinformation, or it's all disinformation.
It's poison pen. Okay. Actually, if you, you know, let me just kind of lay out what the story says for those who haven't read it yet.
Okay.
There's an observatory called ALMA in Chile. Now, this facility is an international facility. Our government does not have a controlling interest in it. All right. It's a minority partner. And so they're actually able to do real science down there. And this is, this is an array of antennas, all right? And they're between radio and infrared in that spectrum. So this is something that infrared observatories are not going to see. They've spotted two objects way, way out at the edge of our heliosphere, all right, at a good distance. Now, what they're explaining is they say there's three possibilities for what they've discovered. A trans-Newtonian object, a super Earth, or an incredibly cold brown dwarf star. And this is something that has really come out of nowhere, out of the blue, and it's been a body slam to the most suppressive efforts of our government as well as the UK. That's where all this heavy suppression is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into the article itself, all right? You see the evidence of the attacks. Now, when they are trying to kill a story, and here's the thing, is that it's not that they have found these objects way out at the edge of our heliosphere, all right? What they have done is given legitimacy to the topic of Planet X, all right? And the last thing the elites want is for the topic of Planet X to have any sliver, morsel, crumb, or molecule of credibility. So now you have these astronomers out there who come out of the blue and go, I think we found Planet X. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reaction in the Washington Post tells me that, man, this had the lights on the Kremlin, as they used to say. All right? This really hit, and they are working really hard. And I have seen our government do incredibly suppressive and terrible things to keep the wraps on this story. Mm-hmm. Now, there people say our government is doing it because they don't want to scare us. No, our government's doing it because our government is owned by wealthy people. That's it. You know, we've been sold out, baby. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they really want to do is the vast majority of humankind is living where? Like you, along a coastline. Now, if you wake up and smell the Nibiru and you go, it's time to go inland, time to get a little elevation, time to put a little dirt between me and a large body of water, and to get away from fracking areas and to get away from nuclear plants and these other threats, you've got a chance of surviving. They don't want you to do that. What they want is the maximum possible dieback of the human species, because that way it's controllable. All right? It's there are some folks call it Agenda 21. This is, you know, this was something I woke up to all of this back in 2004, and I've had to live with it ever since. And what you see them doing is extremely consistent with waiting for this planet to come in, reducing the population, and so that whoever does survive is so beaten down they're able to go out and say, fine, now you're going to take the RFID chips, we're going to turn you into zombies, and we're going to rule the planet. That's really the game plan, and I know for a lot of people it's like, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. But that's really what it is. Now, let's prove that. Okay, if that's your plan is to make sure as many people remain in place for as long as possible so that they die along the coastlines, which are going to be the hardest hit by this, then what you want to do is you want people to be going like UFOs. Well, yeah, I see the mountains of evidence, but I don't know, so I'm not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit on my tuchus. Now, I want to go in here and take some quotes out of the article. Now, as I do, there's the three D's, okay? And the three D's are denial, dismiss, and demean. Denial, dismiss, demean. Denial, dismiss, demean. This is the secret formula of disinformation, especially when you have to do emergency spin control. So whoever this Sarah Kaplan is, she's a pretty dark person. She's definitely a tool. Now, I want to talk about some of the terminology that she uses. And then she quotes this guy, Mike Brown from Caltech, who's the quote-unquote Pluto killer. And again, remember the three Ds, all right? So from this article, she goes, you know, for centuries, Planet X has eluded some of the most brilliant minds. It even destroyed one, subject of endless calculations and rampant speculation, crackpot theories, and countless hours gazing fruitlessly at the night sky. So she immediately sets it up in a very negative tone. With regards to the what these people have, and I have both studies. I've printed out the studies that are in the Journal of Astronomy and Astrophysics, all right? And what these guys are saying is what all astronomers say when they discover something. Hey, everybody, go take a look at it. Let's sort this out. We need help from our colleagues, all right? That's all they're saying. We have some possibilities here. Now, this is the way things go. For those out there who might remember back into the 1990s, in the early days of the Internet, we used to have British tabloids scaring the dickens out of us with asteroid could hit the Earth and boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Sold tons of newspapers for these schmucks, all right? Now, what happened was the astronomers were beginning to use the Internet, and they would find an asteroid, and they would find one in an Earth-crossing orbit. And they would say, well, there's like a 1 in 100 chance it could hit the Earth. Good enough for a British tabloid, sell a lot of paper. Scare a lot of people. Next thing you know, NASA's getting the, you know, the switchboards lighting up at NASA, and everybody's asking questions. So what did NASA do to control this? Instead of going to the British government and saying, okay, you have the ability to muzzle this kind of nonsense in your press, do it. No. They went to the astronomers and said, if you want to keep your job, you want to keep your funding, you want to keep your tenure, you will report it to us, and you won't say anything until we tell you to say something. And they immediately instituted a program. So think about it. After the year 2000, you don't see any more of those UK headlines, asteroid could impact the Earth. It vanished. It stopped. What do you see now for headlines? Asteroid that could have hit the Earth flew by 3 days ago.
Sure.
Old story. Okay. So we already have in the astronomical community clear evidence that since 2000, NASA has been a suppression bully. And they have been suppressing free conversation of astronomers around the world because NASA is got the biggest checkbook. You know, the United States, when it comes to science funding, we are the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The reason why this story sneaked out of the ALMA observatory is that we don't have a controlling interest in there. We can't browbeat them with a checkbook or threaten them with all kinds of things. We can't say, we're going to audit, our IRS is going to audit you. Yeah, somebody from Japan there is going to go, so what?
Right.
Have fun.
Right.
All right? Now, she goes on and say, so both studies were submitted to the prestigious journal. Neither has been peer-reviewed or formally published. Duh. That's the process. So she's presenting the process as a way of demeaning these people. Remember the 3Ds, all right? They're both based on limited observations, just two spottings apiece. They have garnered a great deal of skepticism with the astronomy community. Well, again, these were published, and I have the papers, and what the guys are saying is we saw this. Hey, everybody jump on. Let's be good scientists, and let's sort it out.
Right.
All right. And then she introduces this guy, Mike Brown, all of which sounds pretty cool unless you're Mike Brown, a Caltech astronomer who spent the majority of his career scanning the farthest reaches of the solar system for just these kinds of objects. Well, Mike Brown is on the government payroll, okay? So the same people who want to suppress the story are paying for his kids' orthodontia, and, you know, that's the way that goes. And it goes on, and he says, Jonathan McDowell, an astronomer with the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, told Gizmo it was a considerable stretch to claim an outer system object has been found based on the information and the reports. There could be problems with the ALMA instruments or other explanations for the blips that form the basis of the report. So they're already on a fishing trip for nonsense here.
Well, and not only
the
that.
The 3Ds, denial,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Denial, dismissal, demean. You know, it's funny because they did the same thing with those microbursts that happened a few weeks ago. Scientists were well on the way to saying, we have made communication. We picked up something from space, these sounds. And then immediately immediately I got some post on my Facebook page saying, they were just gamma bursts. You're going crazy for nothing. It depends on what you believe, and I think a lot of scientists would be excited to know about Planet X, would keep this alive, while the others, of course, and some of the writers, like you say, would want to demean and dismiss the story because it's uncomfortable to talk about something like Planet X. Tonight, Marshall Masters with us talking about Planet X. If it's uncomfortable, we're talking about it anyway. Keep it here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. We'll be back. Tonight, Washington Post publishes an article saying that scientists in Chile have found what may be Planet X, maybe two of them. Marshall Masters on to comment about it, but throughout the entire article, they dismiss, demean, and they try to debunk the entire thing, as well as report it, and it kind of sends a confusing message. We're trying to decipher what the truth is within all the disinformation, and Marshall was describing it to us. Is there anything in that article that's redeemable? Only the kernel of truth is that they did discover something at the AMA, and they'll probably never know exactly what they discovered?
The redeemable thing about this article is that this is one of the most patented propaganda disinformation body slams of suppression I have seen in a very long time. Something like this only happens when the people who don't want us to know get blindsided and they respond. I mean, let me give you just a couple other things. We talked about some of the, you know, dismissive tones, but here was the real key for me was that in this article, this guy says, you know, no Planet X researcher was more beleaguered than Percival Lowell, who launched into the search of an object, distant object, in an attempt to redeem himself after he became a laughingstock for just suggesting that aliens might be building canals on Mars. And Lowell spent years photographing the night sky. Well, Lowell was the American father of Planet X research, all right? And all of a sudden, we got these guys in Chile who are finding objects at the edge of the solar system. And what are we doing in this article? They're smearing Percival Lowell, who's been well regarded. This guy was, wealthy Bostonian. He built an observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. Clyde Tombaugh discovered Pluto there. Okay. And they said he's a laughing stock for suggesting that aliens might be building. They call him a laughing stock. They're humiliating a dead man. What has that got to do with what's happening at Alma in Chile? Someone tell me. All right. Then they go in terms of Clyde Tombaugh, who's been a very well-respected name in astronomy, because this guy really didn't have that fantastic a telescope, and he discovered Pluto. They said a farm kid named Clyde Tombaugh. A farm kid. This is a man who discovered a planet is being called a farm kid. All right? Now, what they have to do, because remember, this isn't a big story about what's been discovered. This is about the elites being blindsided with a legitimate Planet X story when they don't want anybody to have a legitimate conversation. They don't want people like you looking at this and saying, what am I seeing here? They want you to go, nothing to see here. Move along.
Well, see, and that is one of the reasons why I wanted to, with the article that I produced tonight, I wanted to kind of enhance some of the background that where Planet X has been shown to be a definite possibility. You know, they've been called the hypothetical planets or the or something like that. But there have been ancient writings, biblical writings, words like olam, olamin, all talking about these spheres in space where the gods dwell, or where God dwells himself. And that's why I was thinking, well, if you don't listen to the Bible and the old texts, you listen to all this demeaning nonsense, it's not going to work. Marshall, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more. Sure. Don't go away. Tonight, Marshall Masters with us talking about Planet X, walking in Nibiru Wonderland on Ground Zero. Don't go away.